From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Today's text is found in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. And canst thou not do this? Are there no mercies which thou hast experienced? What though thou art gloomy now? Canst thou forget that blessed hour when Jesus met thee and said, Come unto me? Canst thou not remember that rapturous moment when he snapped thy fetters, dashed thy chains to the earth, and said, I came to break thy bonds and set thee free? Or if the love of thine espousals be forgotten, there must surely be some precious milestone along the road of life, not quite grown over with moss, on which thou canst read a happy memorial of his mercy towards thee. What? Didst thou never have a sickness like that which thou art suffering now, and did he not restore thee? Wert thou never poor before, and did he not supply thy wants? Wast thou never in straits before, and did he not deliver thee? Arise, go to the river of thine experience, and pull up a few bulrushes, and plait them into an ark, wherein thine infant faith may float safely on the stream. Forget not what thy God has done for thee. Turn over the book of thy remembrance, and consider the days of old. Canst thou not remember the hill Mizar? Did the Lord never meet with thee at Hermon? Hast thou never climbed the delectable mountains? Hast thou never been helped in time of need? Nay, I know thou hast. Go back then a little way to the choice mercies of yesterday, and though all may be dark now, light up the lamps of the past. They shall glitter through the darkness, and thou shalt trust in the Lord, till the day break and the shadows flee away. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old.
There is a name I love to sing, the sweetest name on earth. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. Praise
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is expounding verses 26 through 40 of chapter 8. Philip, one of the first deacons, had been preaching the gospel in Samaria and seeing many people converted to Christ. However, in the midst of that great success, the Lord told him to go to a desert place where he would meet an official of the Ethiopian court traveling back to his native land from Jerusalem. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah's prophecy as he rode, but did not understand its meaning. The Holy Spirit prompted Philip to join the man and to explain the scriptures to him. As the eunuch heard of Christ, he was saved and went on his way rejoicing. In making application of this narrative, Dr. Cairns has been describing the character of a soul winner as revealed in Philip. Of paramount importance in this account is the content of Philip's witness to the man. He preached unto him Jesus. Christ must be the focus of our witness if we would see sinners saved. Now, to continue this message called The Conversion of the Ethiopian Eunuch, here is Dr. Cairns.
And the message that's got to be preached by this pulpit, by the message that's got to be preached by our membership, the message that's got to be taken out, is not the message of a denomination. It's not the message of some particular little set of doctrines or dogmas. It is not the peculiar theological setup of some group of people. It is Christ, personally. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, who is God in the flesh. Christ, who is the only sinless lamb for sinners slain. Christ, whose blood atones. Christ, whose power can deliver. Christ, who rose from the dead. Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God. Christ, who is coming back again. My friend, that was the message that Philip preached. Jesus Christ. Now, you'll see that he preached from Isaiah 53. Philip has a lot to teach us here. When he found an interest in Scripture, he didn't start wasting the chance. He took the Scriptures and immediately he began to preach Jesus. You will notice that he preached a scriptural Savior. That is, the Christ of the Word. He preached Christ as the Bible spoke of him. He did not preach your modern, sentimental, trashy view of Jesus. The Jesus of the modern evangelical movement is so far removed from the Jesus of the Word of God as to be what Paul called another Jesus. This man preached Christ as he's revealed in Scripture. That means he preached the eternal deity of Christ. That means he made no apology for the perfect humanity of Christ. He preached a sinless Savior, the Lamb without blemish. He preached a suffering Savior. Notice how in the Scripture before us there is the emphasis upon the slaughtering of the Lamb and the shearing of the Lamb. He preached a suffering Savior. It's interesting in Scripture that suffering is of the very essence of atonement. There can be no atonement without the suffering of the bleeding Lamb of God. That's what Philip preached. He preached a substitutionary Savior, the Lamb for sinners slain. Oh, how sweet is the gospel message. My sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Thank God he is the substitute. And I believe he preached a successful Savior. He preached one who redeemed, one who rose again from the dead, one who reigns in heaven, and one who will return in victory and in glory. Now these are the great themes for the gospel preacher. These are the great themes for the soul-winning witness. And if you would win souls for Christ, then must you also preach Jesus. Just a word about his method. Now this again should take a message in itself, and it would be a long one at that if we were to think it right through. I want you to notice this. Simply, he took the opportunity which God gave. We read that he opened his mouth. Now you'll never witness unless you open your mouth. You'll never win a soul unless you open your mouth. You'll never be effectual unless you actually open your mouth. You can have all the intentions in the world, but if you don't open your mouth and take the opportunity which God gives you, it's all in vain. Oh, how often the Lord gives us an opportunity, and we're that busy taken up with the fear of man or something else. We're that busy talking about things that don't matter that we become tongue-tied in the things of God. We miss the opportunity. My friend, take the opportunity as God gives it to you. For the Lord knows you might never have another opportunity with that soul. Then, not only did he take the opportunity, but I want you to notice he took time. Now, I'm emphasizing that. He took time. He got up into the chariot and he sat down and he wasn't worried about how many seconds or how many minutes or how many hours passed by. If there's one thing I find obnoxious about modern fundamentalism, it's conveyor belt Christianity. You get in the belt here and 30 seconds later you come out here and you're converted. You might understand nothing. You might have simply gone through the form of a little prayer that meant nothing to God, man, you, nor the devil. And yet some preacher will tell you that's salvation. My friend, let me tell you, take time. Take time when you're dealing with souls. I have been in the inquiry room with people sometimes for half an hour. Sometimes for an hour. Not very long ago, we had a soul stayed to have a word with me here. It took 2.5 hours. First hour and a quarter, I was beating my brains out. First hour and a quarter, I felt we were going to get nowhere. Now, I'm saying this not to boast this church or this preacher, but simply as an honest record that the same person dealt with in most churches and by most evangelists would be counted one of the easiest people to deal with. But that wasn't so. My friend, what's the use of you registering a decision, a 30-second wonder, when the soul is going to walk out in turmoil, broken in heart and mind, maybe despairing of ever finding the light of gospel truth and assurance? Take time. We're looking for decisions. We're looking for souls to come to Christ. My friend, don't be afraid to take time and let the Holy Spirit do His work. So he took the opportunity. He took time. And I want you to notice how he used his time. He took the time to expound the Scriptures. When I say take time, I don't mean to sit and talk about non-essentials. I don't think it's wise for the personal worker to sit and allow the conversation merely to drift over the subjective notions and feelings of the person to whom you're speaking. I think that you should take the time to use the sword of the Spirit. Use the Scriptures. And I tell you, the man or the woman who can use the Scriptures in personal work, that's the successful man or woman in God's estimation. Whether they're successful in the estimation of men matters nothing, but that's the successful man or woman soul winning in God's estimation. And I want you to notice this. He conducted the sinner directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. This man led the sinner to Jesus. I have listened to Christians. In fact, let me give you an illustration. When we were in one of our trips to Israel, we had a very brilliant Jewish guide, a man with a very high intellect, a man with great attainments, and he was guiding simply because it made a lot of money for him in the summertime. Now, he was also a very shrewd man. He's one of these modern Jews who didn't really believe too much. But what he did believe was of a Judaistic nature. When he watched Christians in the Holy Land, I want to tell you, he didn't see very much that would encourage him to think seriously about Christianity. And that's a terrible, tragic admission. But it's true. When we were there, before I got there, the Reverend John Douglas had been there a couple of years previously. And he had spoken to him about the Lord Jesus. And as only Mr. Douglas can, in witnessing to Jews in a tremendously powerful manner, he quietly took him to the Old Testament Scriptures, which he professed to believe. He showed him that the Scriptures spoke of a suffering Savior, which thing, of course, the Jews hate. And then he brought to that great text, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. And there brought him into the New Testament and showed him Christ. I think it was 2 or 3 years later when I went with Mr. Douglas. And that same guide came and he said, I remember you. You're the man who quoted the text to me, and he gave him the text. He says, I've been thinking of that ever since. We began to have our meetings. And I noticed what most of the people didn't see. I noticed that coming into the back of the crowd, he was the guide. And he was listening. And then just as the meeting was coming to its close, he would slip out. And we would meet him in the hotel again. We were outside on enjoying the cool evening air. Just about 95 degrees then by that time. But when we come in, Again, we get talking. Again, Mr. Douglas especially was able to introduce Jesus Christ to this man. Very, very good young fellows, godly young fellows, and they had considerable ability. But they didn't know the very basic things about soul winning. And in the middle of the conversation, they just went away off on a tangent, and they wanted to discuss their views of prophecy versus Mr. Douglas's views of prophecy. Of course, he had forgotten more about prophecy than the same boys had ever learned. But they wanted to insist upon their own peculiar little notions. And there they were. And before you knew it, he was not having anything to do with it. He knew too much to get involved in that sort of nonsense. But before you knew it, they had embroiled a few other Christians. And there they were, with an unconverted Jewish guide standing in the midst. And they were arguing and disputing and disagreeing. Of course, he loved it. Got him off the hook. It was enabling him to, again, turn a deaf ear to the claims of the gospel. How foolish can God's people be? My friend, you are not called to convert souls to your particular views of prophecy. You are not called to convert souls to your particular views of church government or the mode of baptism. You are called to preach Christ to those souls. That's what you're called to do. This man conducted sinners straight to Jesus. And he avoided two deadly errors. On the one hand, he was not so bent on multiplying decisions that he would accept anything short of an unambiguous confession. Let me tell you that a decision that is registered externally without a corresponding disposition of heart internally is worth nothing. Philip wanted from this Ethiopian eunuch an unambiguous confession of Jesus Christ. That was the only kind of a decision that he wanted. My friend, that's the only kind of decisions that I'm interested in. That's the kind of decisions we need today, not the kind of decision where a person will decide and they don't know what they're deciding, just as if there were some magic formula or some magic power in the act of decision. Oh, how often we have seen that. America, just as well as our own country, is cursed with that sort of empty decisionism that never conducts the sinner to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Philip wanted this man to be clear in his confession of Jesus as the Son of God and his Savior. And on that ground, he was happy to accept him as a Christian and baptize him in public testimony of that fact. On the other hand, Philip was not like so many people. I'm a Calvinist, as I'm sure some of you will have understood by now. And some Calvinists, well, they're not Calvinists at all. I don't know what they are, but they're far from Calvinists. In fact, I would have a few other names for them, which I'll not go into this morning. And they are so slow to accept the reality of a man's decision for Christ that they practically refuse to accept his decision. They practically refuse to accept his salvation, and they end up teaching, in effect, that the man can never be sure he's saved at all. We have been afflicted by those people. A few people back in Northern Ireland have been cursing us because we are not strong enough. We actually believe that when people come to Christ, they can say, I'm saved. They would rather say they are in a hopeful condition. That they are on the way to being saved. I wonder when hope becomes reality and it becomes a confirmed assurance. I believe that when a man comes to Jesus Christ as a simple act of faith and receives him as a Savior, that the Word of God says he is saved. He's not brought into a mere hopeful condition. Thank God he's saved. And I tell you this morning, if you, though a sinner by nature, If you, though a sinner by practice and desire, even up to the moment you came to this meeting, man or woman, if you as a poor, guilty sinner will come by faith to Jesus Christ, recognizing your sin and receive him as the Son of God and your Savior, then that Bible says you will that moment be instantaneously saved. Those are the methods of Philip the soul winner. May the Lord graciously teach us from this portrait in Scripture of the character of the soul winner.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.